20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, episode number 459. Oh, my God. I am your host, Zachary Jacobson, and you are more than likely listening to this on the morning of a primetime game in Kansas City. The Green Bay Packers will travel to Kansas City to take on the 5-2 Chiefs. The Packers 6-1, coming off their biggest win of the season over the Oakland Raiders. They won 42-24. Aaron Rodgers slung 5 touchdowns and ran another one in. The old man, as Matt LaFleur would like to call him. Yeah, so Packers going into Kansas City. Last time they came there for a regular season game, they were, I believe, 13-0. They were on the cusp of a possibly undefeated season. The offense was unstoppable. The defense was horrible, but they were forcing turnovers that season. They were the defending Super Bowl champions, and they lost to the Chiefs. A very surprising loss that kind of nobody really expected to happen, but it happened. And the Packers ended up finishing the season 15-1. Matt Flynn came in, slung 6 touchdowns in the season finale as Aaron Rodgers sat, which a lot of people will say Aaron Rodgers sitting in that game is the reason why the Packers came out so rusty and with such a lackluster performance against the Giants in that divisional round. But that's neither here nor there. We're not going to talk about that. I don't want to depress any of you. The reality is, right now, the Packers are 6-1. Okay, Matt LaFleur, he is the first head coach in team history to win 6 of his first 7 games in his debut as the Packers head coach. Do you realize how, like, everybody knows how historic this franchise is and how far back the Packers go? Obviously, they haven't had that many head coaches, you know, which is really, you know, impressive. But LaFleur, first head coach, and that's in a history with Vince Lombardi and Mike Holmgren, who had Brett Favre during his prime years when he won 3 straight MVPs. It's a really, really impressive start for LaFleur, and it's promising, it's encouraging. The whole team is vibing. Aaron Rodgers will tell you that himself. The whole team will tell you that themselves. The whole vibe in the locker room is different, apparently. Everybody just seems to love the energy and the chemistry, and they're just, it's a hell of a time in Green Bay right now, and it's just a complete culture shift, everything. Wasn't like this under Mike McCarthy, obviously. So, you know, it's definitely, as I said, encouraging to see the Packers kind of moving in this direction. And their record, their performance, they're reaping the rewards of the work they put in and of just the environment that LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, general manager, that they've all cultivated in that locker room, in that building. This is the result. Everything seems to be clicking. The defense, you know, when the offense wasn't really performing early on this season, they were still trying to work out the kinks and figure out, you know, who they are, kind of what works, what doesn't work. They're still trying to get some of the verbiage in the offense down. The defense carried them. And for the first time in a long time, Aaron Rodgers was carried by his defense. So all those narratives that, you know, Packers fans have stuck to throughout the years about Aaron Rodgers having no defense and, you know, seeing Tom Brady, you know, get carried by his defense whenever he doesn't perform. You know, we've seen that all of the time with the Patriots or even other teams around the league. You know, when their offense is underperforming, the defense is able to hold their own weight and kind of carry that offense to a victory. The Packers have that kind of defense right now. Now, if you're going to use last week's game against the Raiders as, you know, a measuring stick for that, I don't recommend it. Don't watch the tape of that game because the Packers got carved up by Derek Carr. They got gashed by Josh Jacobs, who is a very impressive rookie running back who is, you know, kind of not taking the league by storm, but he's going to put a lot of people on notice throughout this season if he hasn't already. The Packers saw that firsthand. Hell, Adrian Amos saw that firsthand. On the Raiders' first possession of the game, he got just destroyed by Jacobs. So I'm sure his bell's still ringing a little bit. The Packers couldn't get to Carr. I don't think they registered a single QB hit on Carr, which is saying a lot for a duo like Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, who have been getting to the quarterback. They are both in the top 10 in the league in sacks this year. So it was just it was an impressive game plan by John Gruden. He got the ball out of Carr's hands quick. The pack kind of negated that pass rush, and the Raiders took advantage of that opportunity and of the fact the Packers playing a very heavy zone defense. And regardless, the Raiders just sliced their way down the field. But the Packers bent; they never broke, and that's kind of been their mantra the last few games. When the defense hasn't been, you know, really up to par, they get in the red zone and they are forcing stops. I mean, the Raiders got into the red zone three times, and three times the Packers forced some kind of stop, forced the Raiders to either settle for a field goal or they forced the hustle of Blake Martinez forced Derek Carr to fumble out of the end zone, which resulted in a touchback and gave the Packers the ball. So that was a huge swing in the game, obviously, but not here to review that game, just kind of rehashing a little bit of what the Packers have done in recent weeks. So going into this game against the Chiefs, obviously you have high hopes for this offense going against a defense that hasn't really been able to hold their own last year or this year. It's kind of, you know, the headline of that roster has been Patrick Mahomes. It's been Patrick Mahomes and how good he's been, how impressive and just generational his arm has been. So, just got a report from Adam Schefter. Davante Adams not expected to play. So by the time you guys listen to this in the morning, you will have clear word that Davante Adams will not play against the Raiders, against the Chiefs. So there is that. Just got that notification on my phone at 9:01 p.m. Saturday night. There you go. As it happens live here on the Pack a Day podcast, even though you're not listening live. But by tomorrow morning, you will know that Davante Adams, who, yeah, like I said, he was listed as doubtful with that turf toe injury, officially out. Anyways, yeah, Packers going into Kansas City. And this is the Chiefs team. I'm going to kind of run you through their team totals right now. They're 24th in yards allowed per game. Now, that's not because their passing defense has been terrible. They're 10th in passing yards allowed per game. They're getting gashed on the ground. They're 29th in rushing yards per game and 13th in points allowed per game. So their teams are kind of running all over this defense a little bit right now. And that 13 points allowed per game metric is it's kind of skewed. I mean, they held the Broncos to 6 points last week, but I mean, it was Joe Flacco. The Packers played the Broncos earlier this year, and you know, Flacco was carving his way down the field as well. They kind of had the same game plan as the Raiders did with Carr. They got the ball out of Flacco's hands quickly, and he was just able to work his way down the field. He's a veteran quarterback. He can manipulate the field in certain ways that most young quarterbacks aren't going to be able to do, and that brings me into this. The Chiefs are going to have Matt Moore starting in place of Patrick Mahomes. He's a veteran, okay? He's been in the league since 2007, okay? He was a backup in Carolina, spent several years in Miami, I believe eight seasons, and he is the backup right now in Kansas City. He has 30 starts under his belt. He's played in 51 games. He's never been a real starter in this league. Since 2011, you know, he played in 13 games that year, started 12 of them, led the Dolphins to a 6-6 record during his time under center. But he's never really been a starter at the position. So that taken into consideration, he has kind of seen a few things. He's been in the league for a long time. He's been under a lot of quarterbacks. He's been with a lot of OCs, been with a lot of QB coaches. He knows what he's doing. So just because it's Matt Moore and it's not the flashy name, it's not, you know, some guy that you're kind of scared of. Not at all. But Matt Moore, given the weaponry in the Chiefs offense, Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce and that two-headed duo running back with LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams, and it's not even counting for Mecole Hardman. The Chiefs have a lot of speed on that offense, and LaFleur will tell you that. He mentioned it in his press conference earlier this week. That offense is rich with speed. So you don't need someone like Patrick Mahomes. You can have Jamarcus Russell back there under center. You can have Jamarcus Russell at the helm of your offense. He will know how to get the ball into the hands of some of the playmakers that the Chiefs have in their offense. So that being said, I would not be surprised at all if this is a high-scoring game. I predicted a 37-30 Packers win. Now, I'm assuming that this that offense that the Packers are kind of putting together right now, everything's starting to click. I think they carry it over into this week. And you know, we all knew, well, most of us, we all knew before the season, new offense, new coach, new system, new philosophies, everything. It was going to take some time for this team to fully click and to really figure out what they want to do offensively. I assumed it would take a couple months. It's happening a little faster than I expected, but we're seeing what happens when this offense is rolling on all cylinders. Even without Davante Adams, they have Marquez Valdes-Scantling out there catching passes, Jake Kumerow, Alan Lazard making these crazy acrobatic alien catches along the sidelines. I mean, the Packers, this scheme that LaFleur implements, it allows guys to be schemed open. Like, guys are getting open, and Aaron Rodgers is looking as comfortable in the pocket as I have ever seen him. Okay, he's dropping back. He is hitting guys out of his drop. I have not seen him hit guys consistently out of his drop since his early years, since 2010, since 2011, when he was really getting into a groove. Now, you look at the Chiefs. They already rolled out multiple players and several starters. Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Kendall Fuller, Eric Fisher, and Andrew Wiley. They're all out for the Chiefs. So big parts of their defense, big parts of their pass rush are going to be missing. I'm sure Rodgers, LaFleur, that whole group, I'm sure they're going to take advantage of it. And I'm sure the running backs, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, they're going to play a significant role in the game plan tomorrow, as they have the last few weeks. Aaron Jones has stepped up. Jamal Williams, when he has the hot hand, LaFleur isn't scared to ride him. And that doesn't just completely rob Aaron Jones of getting work, of getting reps, you know, as it would in the previous offenses throughout the last couple of years. But when Jamal Williams is just gashing a defense and he is having his way and he's catching passes, it's kind of hard to take the ball out of his hands. Same can be said for Aaron Jones. That's the beauty of the Packers backfield right now. They have a multitude of options with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Who knows what Dexter Williams is going to be turned into, but he finally got some playing time last week when Tim Boyle came into the game. The Packers, they were up big over the Raiders. So Tim Boyle came in, Dexter Williams came in. He got some carries, nothing, you know, too impressive. But regardless, the Packers have a very nice two-headed punch, thunder and lightning duo right there in the backfield, and guys that are playing a huge role in the passing game. I don't even need to reference the crazy touchdown catch that Aaron Jones made last week in the right corner of the end zone where he adjusted late in his route to make the catch. And that's a week after dropping an easy touchdown down the seam, wide open against the Lions. So I would say he kind of atoned for his little mistake there, but yeah, the Packers are still going to have plenty of options with or without Davante Adams. I mean, Adams, who, you know, the last 3 weeks, he's been immediately ruled out well before, you know, like on Friday when the last injury report comes out. Davante Adams, he's ruled out for the upcoming game. He's not going to play. That's been the case the last 3 weeks. But throughout this past week, he's been doing a little bit more in practice each day. So that's something to kind of keep your eye on. That means he can probably return next week against the Chargers in Los Angeles. So that's kind of something to keep an eye on. He was still, you know, given an injury designation as doubtful. Him and Robert Tonyan, the tight end, he's doubtful as well. Doubt he plays. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if the Packers rested Davante Adams through the bye week. Because obviously, turf toe, it's a very painful injury. We've heard all about it, you know, while Adams has been sidelined. It's just horrible to deal with. And the Packers obviously don't want to rush Adams back. He is their star receiver. You know, he is the one of the centerpieces of this offense. And the Packers right now, they're 3-0 without him. They're I don't want to say they're surviving, but they're getting by just fine without him. Aaron Rodgers, he just had his best game in years, and it was without Davante Adams. Now, no, I don't want to say, I don't make it sound like I'm making it, you know, like Davante Adams is disposable. I'm not trying to make it seem like that by any means, but if this offense can keep operating the way it is and they aren't showing any signs of slowing down, obviously tonight's game against the Chiefs is going to be, you know, a little bit of a measuring stick for that, kind of see how, you know, you'd be able to gauge it better, you know, how they look next week against the Chargers. Adams doesn't play. The Packers play the Panthers at home a week after that on November 10th, and then they go into their bye week. So the Packers want to give him extended rest. Just, you know, you don't want to get a, you know, no monkey business with this turf toe injury. If that's the case, then by all means, they can rest him through the bye week. He can come out a fresh man, and he's here for the latter stretch of the season, for the playoff run. Because the Packers, right now, they're at the top of the NFC North, and if you ask me, sights right now should be set on contending at the top of the NFC. I know winning the division is obviously the first numero uno. That's the goal. But right now, the way the Vikings are trending, I mean, they had a, you know, 19. They put up 19 points over the Washington Redskins at home in Minnesota. There was nothing impressive about that game except Kirk Cousins' completion percentage. And that's Kirk Cousins. He's a robot, and I mean that in like the worst way possible. I don't mean he's like some generational quarterback talent. I'm pretty sure he's a robot. Okay, he's just a really weird human being. But anyways, nothing the Vikings did looked impressive outside of the completion percentage. Maybe Dalvin Cook, he looks good every single week. There's no surprise there. But Vikings aren't looking great. The Bears are kind of just a mess. And the Lions, they started the season strong. They're trending backwards, despite how good Matthew Stafford is playing. And everyone knows how much I love Matthew Stafford. The Packers, they just seem like the clear-cut top dog right now in the NFC North. I don't think there's any debate about that. The sights right now, in my opinion, are set on the NFC. Winning the NFC or contending for that one seed, that two seed. Having home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Making teams come to Lambeau Field in January. That is going to ruin a lot of teams' plans come the wintertime. So that is that as far as the Packers' upcoming schedule goes, their injuries. And one interesting thing to note, on Saturday, the Packers downgraded Blake Martinez to questionable. He's dealing with a wrist hand injury, right? You know, just call it a wrist injury. He's dealing with a wrist injury. He was a full participant in practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but wasn't really given an injury designation for Sunday's game. So he reverted back on the injury report. He was questionable. And, you know, the times that has happened this season with the Packers were, you know, they do their Saturday walkthrough and everything, and guys, they're either upgraded on the injury report. That's been the only case this season. Guys get upgraded on the injury report, and they get the opportunity to play the following week. So, or the following day, excuse me. That's not the case this week with Blake Martinez. So if Martinez can't go, it will be his first missed game since his rookie season in 2016 when he played 13 games. He's played in the 39 games since then in 27, 2018, and all 7 games this year. So I don't care what your opinion about Blake Martinez is. I don't want to hear it. That is like the hot debate across Twitter like every single week. Every time Blake Martinez leads the team in tackles, someone has something stupid to say. It's like bad to lead in tackles now because it's an empty, hollow stat. He leads the league in tackles right now. He has led the league in tackles since 2017. He has almost the same amount of tackles for a loss as Luke Kuechly and Bobby Wagner. I think it was Kuechly who had 29 and Wagner who had 22. I don't know, but the numbers were very similar. And Martinez has more sacks than both of them since 2017. So I'm just saying I'm not comparing him to Luke Kuechly. I'm not comparing him to Bobby Wagner. I mean, you guys have seen my tweets. You've seen the numbers compared. I put them out there with no context. You can draw your own conclusions. That's what the internet is for. Form your own opinions. Do what you want to do. I'm just putting the numbers there for context. That's all I can do. I just don't understand it. Why knock this guy for tackling, for doing his job? And you know, the reality is we don't know. You know, everyone says he makes his tackles 4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. We don't know what his assignment is. We don't know if his assignment is to sit there at the second level and wait for the play to come to him, because there have been multiple times where he's pressed the line of scrimmage and he's forced running backs to the sideline, where he has closed gaps on players and he has made plays. But nobody wants to remember that because it doesn't fit their dumb internet narrative that they just want to spout off to their 90 Twitter followers because they think anybody really cares, when in reality they don't. So Blake Martinez, obviously a significant player in this defense, one of the leaders. I believe he wears the communications headset. If he can't go, then that means B.J. Goodson likely takes his place right there at the starting middle linebacker spot. And B.J. Goodson, he was a solid pickup. Packers got him in September, I believe. He's played in 163 defensive snaps. Only Blake Martinez has played more at the middle linebacker position. So that 163, that's over 34% of the defensive snaps. You know, sometimes the Packers like to go with a hybrid look. They bring a safety down into the box that, you know, with no Raven Green, no Abraham Campbell, who is still working his way back from the PUP. That means Adrian Amos has to step down in the box, you know, play as a hybrid linebacker, and that pushes Will Redmond back to safety, where the Packers have just been getting destroyed. Which, side note, Darnell Savage comes back tonight. So that should kind of solidify the back end of the Packers secondary. But anyways, no Martinez means Goodson steps into a spot, and that could open a bigger role for Oren Burks. It depends how the Packers view him right now. He came back from his pectoral injury, played very sparingly against the Cowboys. He's played in 30 snaps, you know, since that Week 5 game. So he hasn't been a really big part of the defense since returning. He's a third round pick here in his second season. He's been hindered by injuries in his career to this point, so it's obviously not really encouraging. If the Packers really want to see what he's about, then going up against a veteran quarterback like Matt Moore in a hostile environment, that's, throw him out there, see what he can do. You know, that's why they drafted him. He's an ex-safety convert. Let him play at the second level. Let him play that cover position, that cover linebacker position. And that kind of just makes things easier for B.J. Goodson, less he has to worry about. He can just play the run. And that's a big reason why the Packers, too, haven't been operating with those hybrid safety looks. Not only because they're weak in numbers there, since Raymond Green's on injured reserve and they don't really have anyone else outside of Adrian Amos who could step in there, but they have been playing big at the second level to combat the opposing run game. And it really hasn't been working. But anyways, that should just about do it for this episode of the Pack-A-Day podcast. Everybody, thank you for listening to me ramble for going on over 23 minutes now. I hope you enjoy the game tonight, and obviously, we're all rooting for a Packers victory. Remember, I'm putting this on record right now. I did it earlier in the show, but I'm doing this again, okay? 37-30, Packers win. I'm putting that out there on the interwebs just so it's there. I hope nobody cuts this up. That's the worst part about actually having a microphone now, which, you know, I do want to thank Maggie Looney again. Thank you for the microphone. Makes my voice sound crispy. But anyways, that's the worst part about having the microphone now, too, is, you know, if people want to take a stupid take of mine that I say on the air, then they could just cut it up and it sounds crystal clear. It sounds beautiful. And they could just do whatever they want with it. Before, at least my voice was a little bit muffled by, you know, using a crappy microphone, but now it's just out there, and you can just hear me just like this. But anyways, thank you everybody for listening. I appreciate all of you. And if you want to follow me on my new Twitter account, the Twitter account that isn't suspended yet. If any of you don't know about that yet, yeah, I was Zach A. Jacobson. I was suspended for God knows why. I still don't know why. They didn't give me a reason or any rhyme or reason, evidence, nothing. So you want to follow me on my new account. My handle right now is ZA Jacobson. You can find me there. You can find my work over at PackerReport.com and Cheesehead TV. So like I said, I hope you guys all enjoy the game tonight, and Go Pack Go.